we are going to answer a question. The question is this: does God test us? And the answer we're going to find is yes. And so this morning, I want to start with from the life of the nation of Israel, because they were God's children, we're God's children, and look at the first of the ways in God tests us, and that is what I call an obedience test. We're also going to be looking at a faith test, suffering test, patience test, false doctrine test, but God tests us all the time. Did anybody ever have to take a test in school? Nobody? I'm the only one that took tests in school? Why? Why do they put us through that torture? To see what we know, right? You know, God tests us to see where we are, to see what we know. And it never ends until we leave through death or the rapture. He's going to just keep testing us. And that's a good thing, because it's good for us. But here in Exodus 16, in the midst of Israel's departure from Egypt, they've not got to the border of the promised land yet, God gives them an obedience test. And I chose this one first because the first test that God ever gave man was an obedience test, right? Garden of Eden. Anybody ever heard of that place? We'll look at that here in a moment. But here in Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 4, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Now I'll go to verse 14. "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, and some more and some less. When they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. It came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? So I've entitled it, That I May Prove Them. That I May Prove Them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we're just so blessed to be able to assemble the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and open your precious word together. And we pray the Holy Ghost will now take it and use it in our lives this morning to grow us, to change us, to convict us, whatever the need might be. But may you be glorified in this service. May you guide all that's done and said. And may great things happen. We give this service to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God made it very clear why he gave them these rules, these laws regarding the manna. He said it there in verse 4, that I may prove them. It's a test. I want to see, are they going to obey me, as he says at the end of the verse, or no? Are they going to walk in my law or no? Now God is about to miraculously feed them from heaven. That's pretty amazing. And by the way, even though they disobeyed, He still fed them for 40 years from heaven. Because remember, they went to the promised land and turned around. We're going to talk about that in another time. And they had to wander for 40 years. But during that 40 years, 6 days a week, God rained down manna from heaven and fed them miraculously. What did He ask in return? Obedience. Now, does God bless us every day? The Bible says, you know, praise the Lord for all of His benefits. Every day He blesses us. He says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He says that He will provide all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yes, God blesses us every day. What does He ask in return? Obedience. Obedience. Now, hidden in this story as well is this beautiful picture of Jesus as the bread of life. Because that's what the manna represented. Miraculous bread that came down from heaven that man was to eat every day. We're supposed to feed on the Word of Life every day. And we'll talk more about that as well. But does God test us? The answer is absolutely. All the time. And the first and most basic area where God tests us is in this matter of obedience. He gave us laws. And He said, please obey them. Jesus, when He came to earth, He gave us commandments. And He says, if ye love Me, keep My commandments. That's a test. Jesus says, if you want to show your love for Me, do it through obedience. Remember, love is what we do. Love is action. How do we show Jesus we love Him? Not necessarily by just affirming it with our words, but showing it through our obedience. If you love Me, keep My commandments, He said. And so absolutely God does test us, but let's just see it in the Scriptures quickly. Go to Psalm 11. I just want to point out a couple of Scriptures just to establish this truth that God does test His children. Now, do you know what? God does not test the lost. It's not necessary. They will receive the ultimate test at the judgment and they will be cast into the lake of fire. But He doesn't daily test them because they're not His children. They don't need tested. They don't need refined. They don't need grown. They're going to hell. But He definitely tests His children. Notice Psalm 11, verse 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. So the Lord trieth who? The righteous. Well, that's us, because if you're born again, the Bible says you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now go to Psalm 66. We'll look at another one. I just want to lay some groundwork here. Does God test His children? Psalm 66, verse 10. For Thou, O Lord, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now, we all know that the way you make precious metals more precious is by continually taking them through the fire. And the hotter the fire, the better. Because it removes more of the impurities. So God is likening the trials and the proving that He accomplishes in our life to silver being tried or refined. God is constantly refining us. Now go to Proverbs 17. Just a couple more, just to lay this groundwork. Proverbs 17, verse 3. The Bible says, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Most of us know James 1. Count it all joy to fall in divers temptations. What's it say? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. Yes, God tries. God tests His children. In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, if need be, your in heaviness do manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God does try, God does test His children. And the first and most basic test is this test of obedience. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 and see the very first test of man, which he failed, by the way. We all know that, or we wouldn't be here today with our sinful natures and sinful bodies. Even before Eve was created, the test was created. How about that? Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is before He made woman. I wasn't trying to apply that women are a test at all, please. I wasn't trying to say that, because they definitely are not. But before He even made the helpmeet, He put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. Interesting. And then down in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Can you imagine only having one commandment? Adam had one, just one law, one rule, not a list of them, one. And they broke the one, which we know the story. So yes, God does test man. It started in the Garden of Eden and it hasn't stopped. But here in the life of the nation of Israel, go back to Exodus 16, we see God testing His children for what purpose? That I may prove them, He said. Whether they will walk in My law or no, I want to know, will they obey? I'm going to give them these two simple guidelines about collecting manna. Not complicated. So let's look at those. Verse 5. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So there were two rules about the manna, or laws, we'll call them. Number one, on the sixth day, which would have been Friday, you have to gather twice as much, because on the seventh day, you weren't allowed to gather. That was it. It's not complicated. So down to verse 14. It says that when the dew was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as an hoarfrost on the ground. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one another, it is manna. That word basically means, we don't know. We don't know what this is. And Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Rule number two. You only gather enough each day for that day. And you can't gather for other people. That's basically one rule. So that's it. How complicated is that? Every day except Saturday, God's going to rain bread from heaven, ready to eat, amazing food, free food falling down out of the sky. Just two rules. Each day, you gather for that day. And by the way, you have to do it in the morning, or the sun will come up and spoil it. Can't gather it for your friend or your wife or your husband or your kids or your parents. Every person had to go gather their own. And then the second rule was on Friday, you go gather twice as much. Which means that God worked a separate miracle every week for 40 years. Think about that. Because if on Thursday you gather twice as much, on Friday with the leftover bread, worms, and stank. But on Friday you gather twice as much, it didn't breed worms and stink. And so every week He worked this special miracle and somehow changed the manna such that it could keep, but every other day it wouldn't keep. I mean, it's already a miracle that the bread's falling down out of the sky. But God was just adding to the miracle that it didn't go off after only on Saturday. So, two rules. That was it. And guess what? Israel broke both of them. They broke both of them. Notice verse 20. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Now, if we're going to carry on with this being an illustration of the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, what it tells me is you need to be studying the Word every day. You need to be in the Word of God every day. In other words, you can't study it on Monday and say, well, that'll do until Sunday. You need to study it every day. They weren't allowed to hoard it up, in other words. Store it up. They weren't allowed to say, well, you know what? Why should we have to gather it every day? Why can't we just go out on Monday and get 6 days' worth? Because that's what God told them to do. They had to gather it every day. That was the rule. And so again, if we're going to follow on with this illustration of Jesus being the bread of life, God wants us in the Word every day. And then He wants us, notice verse 21, and they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So the manna fell down from heaven. It was like mixed in with the frost, if you will. But if you just left it there and said, you know, I'd rather sleep in this morning, and you went out later in the day, it's gone. It melted. You get to go hungry today. And doesn't the Bible say He wants us to be in the Word every day? But doesn't it say, awake, psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early? I think God wants us to be in the Word every morning. I don't think there's any question about that. So moving on, verse 27, it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So God rained manna from heaven for 40 years, 6 days a week. Two rules. God says, I want to prove them. I just want to test them to see if they'll obey me. So I'm just going to give them two simple rules. Gather every day for that day, every person, and on Friday, gather twice as much for Saturday. That's it. They broke both of them. And so people went out on the Sabbath day, because they, well, I guess on Friday, they weren't in the mood to gather twice as much, or maybe they forgot or whatever. They went out on the Sabbath day. Wait a minute, there's no manna. God told you there wouldn't be, but you tried. And God's response, verse 28, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? How long? It was a test and they failed. But God's response was to continue to send manna. Think about that. Look at verse 35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. Now, why was it for 40 years? Because they went to the promised land and they didn't have enough faith to go in and trust God to defeat the cities in the promised land. And instead, God turned them around, and their punishment was to wander in the desert for 40 years until all the people 20 years old and upward died off. And so the whole 40 years was essentially punishment for lack of faith. And yet during that 40 years of punishment, God miraculously fed them every, 6 days a week. Isn't that just amazing? But has anybody in this room ever disobeyed God? Does God keep blessing us and taking care of us and feeding us from His Word? Absolutely. We serve a great God who's good to His children. And we're going to constantly be tested in this matter of obedience. And you know, when we disobey God, if you go to Numbers chapter 14, I want to show you something. When we disobey God, it not only grieves Him, but God refers to it as tempting Him. And I want to show you what I'm talking about. Here in Numbers chapter 14, this is where the people were about to go into the promised land. And the spies brought back the evil report. And in the midst of all that, look what God said. Verse 22. Numbers 14, verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." What I wanted to point out was verse 22. He said, "Have tempted me now these 10 times. That's not a metaphorical 10. That's a literal 10. And you can find the 10 times that Israel tempted God and angered God. And 2 of the 10 times are the 2 that we're reading about in Exodus chapter 16, where they disobeyed God in the collecting it every day, and they disobeyed God in collecting double on the 6th day. Those are 2 of the 10 that he's referring to as he's about to send them back into the desert for 40 years. He refers to it as tempting God. God wants us to understand that he just wants obedience. And you wonder, you know, sometimes we may have some sort of a consistent trial in our lives that just seems to never go away. And maybe, just maybe, God's waiting for us to step out by faith and obey him anyway, because we keep using the trials as an excuse for disobedience. Wouldn't it be something if we just stepped out by faith and obeyed anyway? God might just take the trial away. Wouldn't that be something? Because God always expects us to do it first. Action first. You know, when we talk about soul winning, we often talk about those passages in Psalm 126. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." People say, "Well, Lord, as soon as you give me the tears, I'll go." God knows, says, "No, as soon as you go, I'll give you the tears." He that goeth and weepeth. First, we got to obey. And what might God do in our lives if we stop using life and circumstances and the way we were raised and who we are and blah, blah, blah as excuses for disobedience? If we just stepped out by faith and said, "You know what? I'm going to prove my love for God because I do love God, and I'm going to show it through obedience." What might happen in our lives? I guess we won't know till we try. But God is not only the one who asks us to obey as a way of showing our love for him, "If you love me, keep my commandments," but God is the one that will give us the strength to obey. And that's what makes it even more amazing. Let's look at some scriptures on that. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And so, God has commanded us to do certain things, yet God gives us the strength to do them. And so when we don't do them, it's our own fault, because we aren't relying on God, who makes available to us the power to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. 2 Peter 2, verse 9, look what he says. "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." You mean God has the power to deliver us from temptation? Absolutely. So when we succumb to temptation, when we disobey God, what went wrong? If God can deliver us, you know, most of us know 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape." There's always a way out. Obedience. And God gives us the power to obey. So he commands us to obey, but he gives us the power to obey. And then Jesus came, and he began to give us some new commandments. And what did he say? "If ye love me." That's an if statement. What's the then? "Keep my commandments." Obey. And so this obedience test, it's part of our lives every day. Every day we have a choice to make. Obey, disobey. You know, when Jesus came, he gave us some commandments. Let me just share some of them with you. Luke 14, he said, "Go out of the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." In Matthew 5, he said, "When thou bringest thy gift to thy altar, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother." in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. Matthew 22, love thy neighbors thyself. John 13, love one another as I have loved you. Matthew 6, he said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. In John 5, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there are they which testify of me. In Matthew 6, he said, take no thought for the morrow. In John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Matthew 6, lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And of course, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In Luke 9, Jesus said in John 15, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. And that's just a sampling. But he did say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus had some commandments. You know, you could say, oh, well, he already told us to love one another in the Old Testament. Yes, he did. He said, love thy neighbor as thyself in the book of Deuteronomy. But what he hadn't said up to that point was, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. He's taken it to a new level. I want you to show the kind of love that I've shown to one another. Complete, sacrificial, unconditional love. That is a new commandment. So, I want us to think about this morning. Every day, God is testing us. He's given us His Word. He's given us His commands. He's given us His laws. And He says, here it is. I'm God. I set the rules. I've laid them out for you. I've written them down. You don't have to wonder what they are. I've laid them out. Here they are. You do what you want. But I would prefer it if you obey. Because if you don't obey, it angers me. And it hinders your Christian life. If you do obey, it pleases me. And, as he said to Israel, I am proving you every day, and I want to know, will you walk in my law or no? It's our choice. But when we do, what are we saying? Lord, I love you. I love you. Here's my way of showing it. I'm going to obey you. And that brings God pleasure, according to Scripture. So, every day we're being tested in this obedience test. And we need to look at it that way and acknowledge the fact that when we disobey, we are essentially saying through our behavior, God, I don't love you. That I may prove them. What a fascinating thing. Let's pray.